I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're most probably listening through a pair of headphones, which means I have the perfect sponsor with the perfect product for you. It's Studio, and they want to revolutionize the way people see headphones. Generally, fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and the high-tech ones are bulky and not design-orientated. Studio bridged that gap while emphasizing sleek, modern Scandinavian design. To get a 15% discount on any of their wares, go to studiosweden.com, which is spelled SUDIO Sweden.com, and simply put in the code DTD when purchasing a pair of headphones.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both. Today we speak to Alan Lynn about wanderlust, itchy feet and leaving for pastures new. Blues, rock and lots of soft soul sum up the American band Alabama Shakes. Sounding as if it was recorded in a shoebox, guess who is lollipop for the ears.
I can't tell you how I feel, but I do. Those things they say can't get to me, but they do. I don't see the sky as blue.
With the wanderlust, being content with not only being born somewhere and then living there just isn't quite enough for them. Are you one of these people?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it recently about how you, when you speak to people about where they've always wanted to go, or they feel as if they belong there. And I don't know that you could take it as far as if there was reincarnation, is that where it came from? But I mean, for me, it was always America. I always know as a kid, I used to get anyone went to America, they had to bring back New York Times or. And then things like my aunt, who was a farmer up a hill in Dumbartonshire, she just felt she always wanted to be in Petra in Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean? Until her husband died, and she said, I've always wanted just to be there. And she went and lived there for a while. I mean, there's different reasons people migrate. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get this thing in my head about people following the sun. We tend to have migrated the way the sun went, so east to west. Unfortunately, I mean, some people did it for riches, like the Vikings or Columbus. Some people were shipped there against their will to America. Some people were escaping persecution, and they all tended to go west, which is interesting, but I'm not sure why. And also, I think the disenfranchised in America have traveled west, and that's how you end up with what an assortment of characters living in San Francisco.
Well done. See what you did there. Tell me about Dumbartonshire growing up.
Oh, Paisley. Well, that was where my aunt was from. Oh. I was actually brought up in Paisley, near. Paisley, ooh. It was a weaving town in the sort of 18th, 19th century. Coates Mill, the Paisley pattern came from there. Again, Scotland, I was not happy to get out, but I didn't see it as where I wanted to live. Did my first degree in Dundee, then I went to the Royal College of Art in London, and then stayed in London 25 years. I've always been, first of all, attracted to big cities, and then attracted with that to go to America.
What is it about big cities? What is it about the great lights of London that drew you, other than going to the School of Art, that drew you inexorably from Paisley?
I suppose I found Scotland or Paisley or where I came from too colloquial. I love the idea of with big cities, and it sort of ties into what I do in running a club, an international club, is that you get this constant flow of new ideas and people arriving. So you're always open to new ideas, rather than you'll have a neighbour in Scotland who moved into your next door 15 years ago, and you still think of them as the new person in the street. It's always exciting for me is you get used to getting to know people, but knowing they'll be travelling on. So you don't hang on to them as much as I think with other people. Also, every major idea for the 20th century, and even looking back, came from cities. It didn't come from countryside. So any movement, well, I'm trying to think whether the Chartists did or the Luddites, maybe.
And the Luddites were somewhat regressive anyway, so yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Do you think it's key to the nature of somebody who sees themselves fundamentally as a creative that they seek out the new, and invariably that probably means some travel then?
Yeah, someone told me recently how with some of the politics in America right now is people that are most progressive are people who have traveled, because they've seen other places and realized that it is the same thing of people just want to have a decent life for themselves and their kids. So like people in the army who have traveled and things like that, they said that. And yeah, I mean, travel broadens the mind is the expression. No, this whole gap year thing is, to me, is they should be sent away, not start at university straight away. It should be compulsory to go away. And I mean, it used to be national service, but I just think they should have a choice of voluntary work somewhere in the world that they have to do for a year that we pay for.
So tell us about the first day when you stepped off the plane into America. Was it everything you thought it would be? Did you have a copy of the New York Times thrust into your hand?
No, it was late at night. The first time I came to America, I've got a diary about that, I think, saying about me. It was a 747. I was teaching art in Camp YMCA. And it was a 747 full of students. So everyone was so excited. And then the plane dropped at the sky and just banked over New York. And it took my breath away. It was just spectacular. All the lines of traffic, the red one side, green going the other. And then when we touched down, you know, when that door opens in a plane, you get that smell or heat or something. And then we were staying on 34th Street at the Y, so we walked up to Times Square. I know, London's got Piccadilly, but it's not till you actually go to Times Square, you go, wow. Mm. I mean, it was the big city. I was at Dundee at the time, so I mean, like, it was a 24-hour city. You could go out at that time of night and go to a bar. So no, it was just an amazing buzz and feeling of energy.
So for you, America, New York has always been your siren, it's always been tempting you.
I thought it would have been San Francisco. I went there in 93, not knowing a soul, not with no map, no nothing. And when I got there, I came up with this sort of theory in the sense of that the back to my migration thing is that people have migrated west. And again, disenfranchised, a lot of time I've ended up in San Francisco. And if they can't find the happiness there, you end up like that documentary, The Bridge, where people kill themselves because that's as far as they can go. And so the people that have stayed there, that's the only thing. It's quite, to me, San Francisco is quite a small town compared to New York or Chicago. And a lot of time is then they do close up because they don't have people passing through as much as New York does. They think, why am I going to invest in you? Because you're not probably going to stay here.
So can I say that you were shipwrecked on the rocks by the siren call of San Francisco, which proved to be somewhat false, which is a perfect way for me to segue into you telling me all about the Song of the Siren. Why have you chosen this piece of music for us this week?
Well, this bit of music, again, Sirens, the version that I love was about in 1983, and it was the one you're going to hear is by a compilation band called This Mortal Coil that was made up of the Cocteau Twins, Colour Box, and Dead Can't Dance. But the original song was written by Tim Buckley and Larry Beckett in 1970. It was on an album called Star Sailor. His version is very different. On the last episode of The Monkees, they sang the song in the very last episode, and even Pat Boone covered it at one point. But it is Elizabeth Fraser's haunting voice, like the sirens. I mean, I presume everyone knows the sirens were in the Odyssey, where Odysseus wanted to hear them, but got his sailors to plug their ears with earwax and tie him to the mast so he could hear, and he pleaded to be taken off the mast. He'd already said, whatever I say, don't take me off. And so they got away, and the story is that if the sirens, you heard the sirens, but you didn't shipwreck onto the island, they would die. So it seems they drowned themselves, and that was the end of the sirens. But this song with Fraser's voice, it's just, I don't know, it's one of these songs you just want to put the lights off and dream of going somewhere. It's very, I say haunting, but also it draws you in like the way the sirens do. I mean, what's interesting was Elizabeth Fraser actually ended up going out with Tim Buckley's son, Jeff Buckley, and both died. I mean, Jeff Buckley, who did the Grace album that Rolling Stone said was in the top 20 best albums ever, he also drowned in the Mississippi, which is strange sort of thing, that the connection between him, Elizabeth Fraser, it's just a wonderful song.
On the floating ship's oceans, I did all my best to smile to your singing eyes and fingers drew me laughing. Now my foolish boat is leaning. me not, touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh my heart, oh my heart, shines from the sorrow. I'm as puzzled as a newborn child, I'm as riddled as the time. Should I stand mid the breakers, or should I lie with death my bride? Hear me sing, swim to me, swim to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, here I am, waiting to hold you.
I've got to thank you for actually choosing that as a piece of music, because it's something which has always been in the back of my mind musically. And when you said the Song of the Siren, there was an early house version, and I thought that's what you were referring to. And then as soon as I put it on, I went, oh my goodness, it's this from the 80s. I do remember it. And it's just one of those songs which is, I'm not going to say a subliminal soundtrack of me in the 80s, but it kind of almost is. It was just kind of something which was always there in that beautiful, mournful way that she kind of sings the song and the vibrato in her voice. It is absolutely beautiful. So thank you for bringing back lots of memories. So it's a beautiful piece of music. You are so very obviously into music, Alan. So tell us what are you listening to right now? What's on the top of your iPod iTunes playlist?
Ooh, what was I listening to yesterday? Let me go back to that. Oh, finally, I went back to listening to Tori Amos again, which I hadn't listened to in a while. But actually, one of the ones my favorite, again, I was in America when it came out, is the cover album she does. Mm-hmm. She picks up great songs like Rattlesnakes by Lloyd Cole. She does Real Man by Joe Jackson. She does a Velvet Underground song, but with her spin on it. I've always quite liked people covering other people's songs, because there it is again, someone covering the Song to the Siren. Mm. I have very eclectic taste. I used to DJ at the Royal College, and I go into my iTunes and I don't know anything. And then, because it used to be you'd go into record shops and you'd hear a song. In fact, that's where I first heard Tim Buckley was singing Lilac Wine in Tower Records in Piccadilly. And I was like, what is that voice? I'm lucky that I've got a young staff. I've got about 35 staff. And they keep me up to breath, say, I know you like this, do you like this? But it goes both ways now, because I play music to them that they have never heard. No, it used to be you would listen to the top 20, so you would hear all these different songs, but now we've become so specific, it's hard to bump into songs or artists that you wouldn't normally hear. So what else am I listening to right now? I bought the new Justin Timberlake album. I bought the Sleep album. I don't know if you know that one.
Tell me about that. Tell me about the Sleep album.
So Sleep is... It was a concert done, and it was 8 hours long. It's meant to put you to sleep. And it's this haunting... Oh, Max Richter. That's the name. It's an eight-hour album. I think it was about $25. And you can put it on, and it's just this very repetitive, slow playing. And it seems when they did it in London, I think it was, they had beds and you went in for 8 hours and they performed. So I'm loving that. Max Richter also did the soundtrack for Arrival, and he did a whole piece with Tilda Swinton where he does things based on Virginia Woolf, like the Hours is based on.
I don't know. You've got me when it comes to literature, sir.
Okay. So yeah, that's what I'm listening to right now. So that's quite eclectic between Justin Timberlake and Max Richter.
So when you got off that plane and you saw the beautiful beads of light streaming in a straight line that denoted the grid pattern of Manhattan, and you realized maybe you were at home, what were you missing from Scotland? What have you missed?
Nothing. Don't think so. It was a coming home feeling. I knew that that's where I wanted to be.
Even though you might be fully in the brace of people who are, for want of a better word, internationalists in somewhere like Manhattan, people who, when you can mention, let's say, Paris, they'll go, oh yeah, you know, I've been there. Or you can mention going to see a somewhat obscure artist and they'll go, yep, you know, I really like that artist too. But don't you miss sometimes the familiar kind of embrace of where you're brought up? Just the fact that people maybe get, let's say, a particularly British quirky sense of humour, or even if it's just a reference to watching Grange Hill as a kid. There is something to be said back home.
The question you asked me was at that time was 83. I think it wasn't later on that I've taken people back to Scotland. And as a kid, because of the weather in Scotland, we went to Italy for 2 weeks and on a beach. That's what my parents wanted. So me taking people back to Scotland, though, was the revelation of the beauty of the place, and going up to the Isle of Skye or going through Glencoe, and everyone's sitting going, look at that. And I was like, A, proud, but B, going, I never saw this as a kid. I lived in rainy old Glasgow and then got out of there. And I still get so many friends back there, and I'm happy where I am. There is a humour thing, but again, in Scotland, you tend to put your friends down. That's the humour. Sometimes my staff have to say to the other staff, he doesn't actually mean that, if I'm being sarcastic.
So tell me about your winding path that took you from being this bloke that got off a plane and realised he was at home at JFK Airport to somebody who's now running a rather successful and well-heeled club in the beating heart of Chelsea.
I can do it very quickly. First degree in illustration. I came from a very working class family. I got first class in illustration. I illustrated for Vogue, and the college paid for me to apply to the Royal College of Art. And the thing is, no, I couldn't afford it, or wouldn't like to be in the situation today where the amount of money you have to pay to do a like 7-year degree, all in all, with the 4 and 3 years. So I got into the Royal, did my degree at the Royal. I was very sociable around the film club and I was the DJ, and I worked at the bar in the place. And then I was asked to be student president, did that for a year. And then the Royal College asked me to work for them in public relations for the college. So that's 10 years at art school. And then my mother died very quickly of ovarian cancer, and I decided to change routes. And so to carry on being just an artist, I got a job in a bar. Next minute I was running the bar, and there's the general manager. Went to San Francisco, came back, got a job in a private members club, did that for 12 years, and then fell in love with a New Yorker. And we went back and forward for 3 years every month. And then one of us had to make a move, and it was a no-brainer for me. But again, here was the problem. A gay man could not just move to New York. If I'd been straight, I could have married my wife. But at that time, the only way I could stay with him was to start a business. So naively, I got on a plane, came over, raised 4.2 million, opened the club, and we're now 10 years old. So that's me.
Alan Lynn, thank you for coming on to Friday 15 and telling us that you might be enticed by the song of the siren, by its call to leave the bounds of home to go for pastures new, but you needn't be shipwrecked when you get there. Thanks a lot. That was simple. Done it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I need to remind you that we are part of the Agora Podcast Network. It's a network of some 25 independently produced podcasts. So why don't you go to agorapodcastnetwork.com and go and search out a brand new podcast for your podcasting ears. This month, our podcast of the month is Beyond the Big Screen by Stephen Guerra. So if you want to know the true stories behind your favourite movies, the real facts and the background are often much more interesting and complex than you might think. Stephen interviews people incredibly passionate about a specific film or a genre. They are great interviews. So why don't you take a listen to Behind the Big Screen on a podcatcher of your choice. On with the show. Some 8 years after the first hip-hop party in the Bronx in 1973, Debbie Harry scored the first US Billboard Hot 100 number one using rap vocals in a track with Rapture. Most said it was a novelty that would never catch on.
Where he would have a hassle with the human race. And hip-hop and don't stop, just blast off. Sure shot, cause the man from Mars stopped eating cars and eating bars, and now he only...
Hope you enjoyed this week's show. Don't forget, you can follow the show's progress on Facebook by simply typing in Friday 15. You can also find us on Twitter, where you can follow me, where I'm at Royfield, spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D. Now, every Thursday, you can jump onto Twitter and tweet me and nominate a song for me to put into this week's Friday 15. iTunes reviews, folks, are extremely important. They're the lifeblood of any podcast. Please go onto iTunes and write us a glowing review. And don't forget, finally, you can email me, where I'm Royfield, spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D, at gmail.com. See you all again in 7 days' time for more good music and great conversation.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.